भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम Canto 8, Chapter 19, Text 5. So there is no purport till text 10. So I'll just keep reading the translations and then we'll chant text 10 together. This chapter is entitled The Lord Begs Charity from Bali Maharaj. Text 5. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyakashipu was born. It was in your dynasty that Hiranyaksha was born. Carrying only his own club, he wandered the globe alone without assistance to conquer all directions, and no hero he met could rival him. Text 6. When delivering the earth from Garbhodaka sea, Lord Vishnu, in his incarnation as a boar, killed Hiranyaksha, who had appeared before him. The fight was severe, and the Lord killed Hiranyaksha with great difficulty. Later, as the Lord thought about the uncommon prowess of Hiranyaksha, he felt himself victorious indeed. Text 7. When Hiranyakashipu heard the news of his brothers being killed, with great anger he went to the residence of Vishnu, the killer of his brother, wanting to kill Vishnu. Text 8. Seeing Hiranyakashipu coming forward, bearing a trident in his hand like personified death, Lord Vishnu, the best of all mystics and the knower of the progress of time, thought as follows. Text 9. Wheresoever I go, Hiranyakashipu will follow me as death follows all living entities. Therefore it is better for me to enter the core of his heart, for then because of his power to see only externally, he will not see me. This is text 10. So we'll chant together. Evam sa nischitya ripo Sariram Adavato Nirvivise Surendra Swasanili. Actually, Swasa Anila Antarai Sukshma Deha Tat Prana Randrena Vivigna Cheta Evam Sanishchitya Ripo Sariram Advato Nirvise Surendra Swasa Anilantarhita Sukshma Dehas Tat Pranarandrena Vivigna Cheta Evam Sanishchitya Ripo Sariram Advato Nirvise Surendra. Svasanila antarhita sukshma dehas tat prana randrena vivigna cheta. Mataji's, please. Evam, in this way, sa, he, Lord Vishnu, nischitya, deciding, ripo, of the enemy, sariram, the body, advahata, who was running after him with great force, nirvivise, entered Asura Indra, O king of the demons, Maharaj Bali, Swasanila, through the breathing, Antarhita, invisible, Sukshma Deha, in his finer body, Tat Pranarandrena, through the hole of the nostril, vivigna cheta, being very anxious. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, Lord Vamanadeva continued, O King of the demons, after Lord Vishnu made this decision, he entered the body of his enemy Hiranyakashipu, who was running after him with great force. In a subtle body inconceivable to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Vishnu, who was in great anxiety, entered Hiranyakashipu's nostril along with his breath. Purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is already in the core of everyone's heart. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hridesha Arjuna Tishtati, Bhagavad Gita 18:61. Logically, therefore, it was not at all difficult for Lord Vishnu to enter Hiranyakashipu's body. Excuse me. The word vigna cheta, very anxious, is significant. It is not that Lord Vishnu was afraid of Hiranyakashipu. Rather, because of compassion, Lord Vishnu was in anxiety about how to act for his welfare. Om Ajnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Srimate Devamrita Swamini Tinamane Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Destarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasadi Gauru Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Several essential messages in these past times to help us on the path of pure devotional service. Like Rupa Goswami said, Utsahat Nishchaya Daryat, that we have to be enthusiastic, determined, and also patient. So we can see from this pastime and other pastimes how a devotee is always determined to serve in all circumstances. Because basically determination is expression of our free will. A devotee, a real devotee, all weather devotee, he doesn't give up in any circumstance. And not only that, he's not so into himself. Also, a devotee depends on the mercy of Krishna. Very humbly we take shelter of Krishna's mercy, because without Krishna's mercy we can't do anything. That's this is like a success formula. And we can see in this pastime how Krishna actually cares only for our bhakti. And so many other pastimes also we saw how this is the most important thing that Krishna cares about. Even in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, Bhakto sime sakha cheti rahasyam etad uttamam, that because you are my pure devotee, I am willing to speak to you this knowledge. Like my guru was joking in one of his lectures, he said Krishna didn't say to Arjuna, like, you know, because you have such an high IQ, you know, then I'm willing to speak to you the Bhagavad Gita, therefore you can understand. No, it's not the consideration. These teachings, they're not understood through IQ, and they're understood through service, devotional service. And we can also read in this pastime how Krishna wanted to give mercy to Bali Maharaj more than just getting the land back from Bali Maharaj and give it to the demigods. Because after all, what do people usually do when you give them, you know, some land? What to speak of the demigods? You usually just engage in some sense gratification. Use the facilities. But Vamana Dev wanted to shower his mercy on Bali Maharaj. So much so that Bali Maharaj became famous for performing one of the nine processes of devotional service, Atma Nivedana, completely surrendering his whole existence unto Vamana Dev. And he also became a Mahajan. Out of the 12 Mahajans, Bali Maharaj is actually one of them. He became so glorified, such an amazing devotee. And we can also see how devotees pure devotees of are so dear to Krishna that Krishna actually really takes care of anyone who is actually connected to a pure devotee. And we see how, you know, Bali Maharaj, he has an interesting family tree, you know. His grandfather was Prahlad Maharaj, and his uncle was, it was actually great uncle, right? Was this Hiranyaksha that we're reading about. And it's explained that even Varaha killed him with great difficulty. You can imagine such a great demon. Because even to fight with Krishna, you have to be like great, you know, even if you're a demon. So he has an amazing family tree, the best and also the worst. And Vamanadeva appeared, and we can read and learn so many things from these pastimes. And he just asked for like 3 steps of land, you know. It's actually very confusing for Bali Maharaj. He said, Bali Maharaj says, I can give you a planet if you want it. I can give you silk, I can give you anything. You just ask anything, I'm happy to give you. It's like, you know, Prabhupada would often say, like, don't go to a king and ask for like pinch of ash. You know, it's like if you meet Bill Gates or something and you ask him for like $5, you know. It's just like bewildering. But Vamanadeva explained to him, you know, this amazing teachings that we can apply in everyday life, all life long. That if somebody is satisfied, he doesn't need much. But if we are not satisfied spiritually, if we don't have the spiritual satisfaction, nothing in this world can satisfy us. We can see how, you know, people want to become like millionaires and then billionaires, and then they want to be on the top of the world, and you know, they want to invest in other countries, and even they're looking at other planets, you know, not enough. Like now they're so bored with Earth planet, they're looking at the moon, you know. And once you go to the moon, what are you going to do? Get intoxicated and same boring stuff. Because unless we are spiritually satisfied, you know, no matter how much we have materially, it's not going to make us happy. And Bali Maharaj actually agreed to give 3 steps. But then we all know what Vamanadev did. Same thing, right? Like they say, if you give Maya an inch, she takes a mile. You can either lose yourself in Maya, or, you know, he gave 3 steps to Vamanadeva and he also took like everything. So you can either be like Prabhupada always makes this point, we can either, you know, serve Maya or serve Krishna. But, you know, Maya's business is she presents herself more attractive than Krishna to bewilder us. Or sometimes, like Prabhupada said, you know, that we are so insincere, we don't even have to have Maya bewilder us. We just so insincere, we just go away on our own. How amazing is that? So, living in this material world means constantly having to make this choice. You know, even it's explained, even at the time of death, you know, Maya is on one ear, the spiritual master and Krishna is on the other ear. Both of them are inviting. We still have the choice till the last moment to make the right choice. It never ends. And living in the material world means disturbance. And more we see, you know, what's going on in this world. Like, people ask me, like, what is this book about? I tell them, you know how this world is becoming crazier by the moment? And this book teaches you how to remain sane And that's all it takes, and they completely relate to that and agree with me, you know. So it's like what's going on, it's really like sad. It was in the news in Pakistan, this terrorist group just went into a school and just shot and killed like 126 students. It's like little kids, you know. I mean, what do you accomplish by such an activity? Even religiously or materially, you know, what is that? It's unheard of. But people don't know any other, people don't have any other option. You know, when you're in Maya, this is all you have to deal with. Sometimes when we are, you know, distributing, or when I'm talking in Bhakti House on book distribution or something, then I, you know, they ask, like, you know, when you're distributing like Srimad Bhagavatam, like, what is this about? Oh, this king had only 7 days to live. And he's asking his teacher how to perfect his life. So I asked them, so what would you do if you only had 7 days to live? It's really amazing all the things they say they would do in the 7 days. It's like you can't even repeat. It's very sad, but they're completely convinced, like, you have only 7 days, so you have to squeeze some kind of enjoyment out of the 7 days. Be with like seven different women each night and do these activities in Bahamas, or, you know, have the best, you know, non-vegetarian meal and best wine, and, you know, it's like all these things that will speed up their destination to hellish planets. They're like completely convinced you have to do those things in 7 days because that's all you have. And they think like that about the whole life also. Because when you die, everything is finished, so you have the short life, so you have to get into it. Don't hold back, you know. Or you ask, you know, sometimes, like, you know, in the talk I ask them, so what would you like to reincarnate as? In case there is reincarnation, what would you like to become in your next life? Somehow many of them say, I would like to become a bird. You know, and many say they become a dog, they want to become a, you know, this or that. It's actually very shocking. The thing is like completely normal. I was listening to a lecture, Prabhupada saying, people have become so rubbish. Did they say, what's wrong if I become a dog? Prabhupada was like very sad and disgusted. And the amazing thing is, you know, there's so many prominent religions of the world, and they have billions of followers. And they don't like promote vegetarianism, or they don't believe in, like, you know, soul reincarnating. It's like, how sad is that? And they have billions of people following their teachings. This is like Maya, you know. They're like being instruments of Maya. You type, just type in the YouTube, like Jesus Christ, you know. Any clip, it has like 100,000 views, 400,000 views, you know. They have all this following, but they don't know how to guide them. So it's very sad, actually, the world situation. The most important teaching that Krishna begins the Bhagavad Gita with is how, you know, the soul reincarnates. If they don't even have that basic understanding, how they're going to go anywhere in spiritual life? They're actually like joking about it. There's actually a joke. One boss is asking his staff, do you believe in reincarnation? And the guy's staff, he says, no, I don't believe it. There's no evidence for it. And the boss says, yes, there is. Because after you went to your uncle's funeral yesterday, he came here looking for you. So you have a solid evidence to believe in reincarnation. So this is how far that people go in terms of, like, you know, their understanding. But there's no, like, scientific teaching, not given in any, you know, religion of the world, except for, like, you know, Bhagavad Gita. It's so clear in the first few pages. So everybody is stressed out and confused, and, you know, they don't know how to relieve it. It's like a few weeks ago we had this program in USC, and as we were like getting set up, there was this snake in the quad. There were like all these hundreds of students were like gathered all of a sudden. And then we didn't know what it was. So when we asked, they said, you know, they're going to bring like puppy dogs to this place. So all the students are so stressed out. So they're going to come. We are all here to play with the puppies and relieve our stress. So it's amazing, you know, that they don't know any other solution. And they're fortunate enough that our crew, like Kumari Mataji and Julio and Isaac and the Indian Prabhus, you know, everybody started distributing Bhagavad Gitas. We distributed like about 5 cases of Bhagavad Gitas right there. And they were like, you know, since they were already there, you know, looking for some stress relief. So we were explaining to them, you know, how this book relieves stress in a long run, you know, not just temporarily play with the puppy and then what? And then as soon as you leave, you become stressed out. And they were taking so happily. So we have the answer. We have the solution to the world problem. But the problem is we don't have like, you know, love for the conditioned souls. Like Prabhupada came, you know, in Jaladuta, we heard this so many times, but if you actually think about it, he really didn't come to America for like any other reason except to give Krishna consciousness. We have like many devotees from India that like reaping, enjoying the benefits of America, but also a little bit of Krishna, you know. If you think about Prabhupada, he didn't come like that. He came 100% to give Krishna to the people that he didn't know about. He never met an American in his whole life. He came just to give mercy to the people that he didn't know anything about. I mean, what kind of compassion does it take? And, you know, we are distributing because our founder Acharya, this is what he wanted the most. It runs in the family, you know. Even Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was chanting 10 years straight. He made a vow to chant 1 billion names of Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to him and said to him, like, what are you doing? I sent you for another reason, you know. So go out and distribute. And then Bhaktisiddhanta actually wrote in his humility this beautiful poem, like, you know, Pratishtara Tare Nirjanagare Tava Harinam Kevala Kaitava. Oh mind, you're chanting, but you only want like false adoration and distinction, and you want to be glorified. What kind of cheating is that? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, it's nothing more that they wanted than we distribute these teachings. But unfortunately, we don't feel any love for these people, you know. It's hard to feel love for these people also. But we have to pray. We have to pray to Panchatattva and Srila Prabhupada that we develop. Because after all, we've taken this as a career. This is it, you know. There's nothing better to do, so might as well learn the art of distributing and cultivating people and help them out. Bhaktisiddhanta actually said, if you give somebody a book and they come and you don't take care of them, it's like having illicit sex and you have a child and you're not responsible. It's very heavy. So we have to pray to Krishna to give us the intelligence how we can become instrument of Krishna's compassion, of our spiritual master's compassion. And it's most needed. I mean, it's not even like few years. Even when I was growing up, which was like, you know, not so long ago, but, you know, things were not so bad, you know. So things are getting worse. Like one time my Guru Maharaj said, you just distribute the book And Maya will beat these rascals on the head and she will get them to read it. So it's true, it's happening, like the world is like in chaos. So when we're out there and distributing, at least they have the message. It's like this one girl approached me and she was like going back and forth and she looked interested. And then when she came back, I said, "Oh, you came back." And then she actually came over and she said, "I have your books for like 5 years. I can tell you every painting there is in your books. I have it right there in my dressing table. I look at these paintings all the time, but I just don't understand it. Can you tell me?" So I went through all the paintings in the Bhagavad Gita and the self-realization. It's funny, we have this self-realization, we have a painting, it looked like a guy is like cutting himself open. So she said, "Why is this guy took a blade and cutting himself in half?" She said, no, "The body is like a dress. It's like a zip. He's unzipping himself." She said, "Oh wow, that's amazing." So she's asking about Sukadeva Goswami, about Vyasa Dev, I had every book and every painting I showed to her, and then she said, "Can you give me a book that I can understand? I have like 1 hour break." So I gave her self-realization. She said, "Which chapter do you recommend?" I said, "Read page 23. It's like Prabhupada talking in London about reincarnation." So right in front of my eyes, she just went and got a drink in Starbucks, just sat down, just read for a whole hour, And every time she passes by now, it's like so favorable. "Oh, you want anything to drink? Are you sure? It's like this bhakti is started, So when we're out there, we don't know who we're going to run into, and they might have already have the books, and just everything adds up. It's like me and Aravind, we were distributing a couple of days ago. One really nice young man, he works as a manager in the Nike store. He said, "In 2015, my goal is to give up all this nonsense and dedicate myself to a spiritual path." And he was talking to Aravind, and he got a book from me. He went away, came back, went to the ATM, got some money back. And when he came back, I was talking to somebody. And he's asking Aravind, like, "Are you a monk?" Aravind said, "I'm an engineer, but I'm doing this also. And you can talk to him, he's a monk." Like, he's pointing to me. And this guy came, "So how to do this? I want to do this. Do you have facility? What can I..." So I was listening to all the things I'm saying about the books. And then at the end he said, "Is there any chance, by any chance, you guys believe in something higher?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Like a God?" I said, "Yeah, it's all about it, This is what Krishna is speaking. Krishna is like the Supreme is speaking." Whew, what a relief. He says, "I really liked all the things you said, but I was afraid that I have to meditate on like some energy or breath or something like that. But I'm so glad you guys believe in God and you're living a life of sacrifice." So there's all kinds of people you meet, So we just have to be visible and available and take some time. And especially when we don't feel like going out, and we do, and Krishna sends so much reward. Always happens. In my body, I don't know, it's going to be stomach ache or headache or I don't know what's going to be like next hour. It's like, but it's whatever it is you put in your mind, I'm going to go out, it's a whole month, it's marathon. It's like, it's better than Kartik. It's like, ecstatic. And you go out, and then, especially when you don't feel like going out, you go out and there's so much reciprocation Krishna sends. And it's the best thing we can do for ourselves and for the world and animals and planet and you name it, Because you can go and save a few whales if you're part of like Greenpeace. And then what? Everybody's like chopped up all their solutions, Like Bhrigupati Prabhu was saying one time, you talk to these PETA people and they're promoting vegetarianism, but then when he asked this girl, like, "Oh, what do you think about abortion?" "Ah, it's up to the individual, it's personal, don't get involved." So why are you stopping animal killing then? If it's personal and people have the choice. It's all like incomplete. Any questions or comments? Balaram Prabhu. No need microphone. Go ahead, bro. I can. Is the mic getting ready?
One Indian guy, and boom, the faster devotee gets the military guy, and the slower guy gets honestly, personally, Prabhu, myself, when I was distributing books, I would refrain from getting in contact with fanatic Christians and smarta Brahmins. And the Maya Pritigyanis, but this is my question. In our time, Kali Yuga, we will be faced with this, Lord Chaitanya's mercy, Lord Nityananda's mercy. We'll be faced with these demons. But then again, there's the factor of Prabhupada saying that you have to be at least a Madhyam Adhikari to distinguish who is innocent, a demon, and the devotee. So, are we gonna, you see, personally, I've experienced dealing with the demons, and it does suck a lot of energy from you. Your day is done. You know, if you go to spend one time with, one of these trees, boom, your day is, you're done. It's like, what happened? It's like, whoa. But then again, please give me your enlightenment. So are we going to pursue, or are we going to be more discriminating?
Yeah, Vaisheshika Prabhu says just like, you have a ripe fruit and you have a green fruit that's not nowhere close to being ripe, so we have to go for the ripe fruit. So when we're on book distribution, there's so many innocent people passing by, and we have to give to them. If you get caught up in a argument or somebody who's not ready, it's like actually Maya. It's like I was distributing books to this couple and they were so interested. They just finished a retreat and something. And then as I'm talking to them, this one lady comes and then she's like, oh, what you got? So I gave it to her as a book. Take it with you. She said, no. Because I wanted to really focus on this couple that was so interested. She goes, no. Tell me what it is first. Then I can decide I want it or not. And then again she looks at the cover. It's divine grace. Who is this guy that's taken the position of Jesus Christ? I said, have a nice day. I said, have a beautiful day. And then completely turned around, just ignored her. She was just going around, round. Like. So it's right there. You have, if I would have gotten into it with her, and these people you know, we have to focus on the ones that are ready and ripe to learn about Krishna. It's like Bhrigupati Prabhu trained us like this. You have to be focused and gentle and friendly and no arguments, but you have to know how to excuse yourself. Like I used to, somebody come up to me and, "Do you believe in Jesus Christ?" "Yes." "Or do you believe in the way we believe?" And like trying to be polite, they're just like harassing me. Nowadays I just tell them like, "No, I don't believe in the way that you believe. Otherwise I would have been a Christian, but I'm not a Christian. Have a nice day." Just straightforward. They don't even know who Hare Krishna is. They don't even know who Krishna is, but they start blaspheming. Krishna can't save you. He's a false guy. You need Christ. You know, like all these things. We're giving them opportunity to blaspheme and go further down. So we have to learn the art. That's why it's important to go with somebody like Bhrigupati Prabhu and learn how to distribute. It's a science, it's art. Prabhupada actually said we should be trained. Like Savas Prabhu has his hand up. Savas.
Thank you for a nice class. I remember when I was doing book distribution, we always used to consider ourselves to be like a postman. You're like a mailman. He comes to your box and he just drops off whatever's there. He's not attached. He can be giving you a $1 million check or he can give you a letter that says you go to jail. But the point is that the postman is not attached. He's simply doing his service. And he does it very nice because he's a representative of the federal government. So we should see ourselves as a representative of Lord Krishna and the Krishna conscious movement. And we should be like that postman with no attachment, but we should just deliver. If they want, okay. If they don't want, just keep moving. But if you kind of keep your mind fixed on that idea that I'm just a deliverer of this message, then we don't get so attached, because really we get attached after a while in terms of wanting to convince someone. The minute we say something and they say something, our ego becomes inflamed, and then we want to try to like really let them have it or convince them or whatever. But if we just consider ourselves as a deliverer, we're just giving this to you. If you want it, fine. If you don't, we'll just keep moving. And it actually benefits one to be fixed on his service or her service.
Thank you. Bhrigupati Prabhu.
Sometimes it's good to have some ammunition. Like sometimes if you're dealing with people and for instance, if it's a Christian, I mentioned this in a previous class, you can just say, "Oh, you know, there's a whole section in this book or a small section about Jesus Christ," and you read him that thing about Jesus Christ. There are many examples in the history of devotees the Lord who risked their lives for the spreading of God consciousness. The favorite example is Lord Jesus Christ. He was crucified by the non-devotees, but he sacrificed his life for spreading God consciousness. Of course, it would be superficial to understand that he was killed. So, some of them are kind of like Christians, and there are different degrees of envy that they're conditioned by. So the ones who are less envious, I've experienced this a lot. You just read them something like that, and they go, "Oh, okay, I guess I can read that." You know, same thing with Buddhists. If you, chapter 4, text 7, there's a thing about Buddha. You can see, if they say, "I'm a Buddhist." Well, a lot of times Buddhists are kind of more favorable, but if they're presenting that as an objection, you say there's a whole section in this book about Lord Buddha, and you read him, it says here, "From the Bhagavatam, we can understand that Lord Buddha is an incarnation of Krishna who appeared when materialism was rampant and materialists were using the pretext of the authority of the Vedas. Although there are certain restrictive rules and regulations regarding animal sacrifice for particular purposes in the Vedas, people of demoniac tendency still took to animal sacrifice without reference to the Vedic principles. Lord Buddha appeared in order to stop this nonsense, to establish the Vedic principles of nonviolence." That's it. Mm-hmm. You say, "Hey, look, it's a whole section about Buddha." You just kind of do something like that, and I just figure it's Prabhupada's words, and if that ain't good enough for him, then forget it. So there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, you go through Prabhupada's books, you could come up with something like this for every different kind of person, for every different kind of objection, you know, for the Mayavadis, for this, for that. So that's why it's important. You have to read the books, and when you come across these things, make a note of it for yourself, and then use it when you go out on Sankirtan, when you come across these kind of people. Have something for the Christians, have something for the Buddhists, have something for the... right out of Prabhupada's books. And then you just give them that, and then don't worry about it beyond that, if either they accept it or they don't.
Okay. It's probably in the back quickly, and then we'll end there.
Thank you, Prabhu. Your classes are always very enjoyable and enlightening. Like you said last time in the lecture about everybody getting along, and that's going to take time and take patience. I kind of think that today's class is an elaboration on that, of working with the conditioned soul. But I had one question, and I would prefer to ask this privately, because it is a very hot button issue. But as I learned in grade school and middle school, that usually when you have a question, the rest of the class has the same question. So you kind of touched on abortion, and that's something that, like, you can't necessarily just throw out and not elaborate on. And in my deficient intelligence, I can't necessarily understand, for example, in the 10th canto, Krishna is speaking to Queen Rukmini, mm-hmm. And he says that householder life is the highest of all ashrams. Is it ashrams? I'm not particularly sure. But if you are trying to serve Krishna and you believe that householder life is not the highest, and you are trying to stay unattached with children, because we know that children is an attachment, that children will keep you rooted to this material world. You will not continue on. Would it be within Krishna consciousness to have an abortion to stay with Krishna? That was a thought that popped up in my head, if you could clear that up, I would really, really appreciate it.
Can you answer that, please?
Hare Krishna. I don't know why you're throwing it at me, but the Vedic knowledge is a complete package, so it's difficult when you just take one section. It's like Prabhupada himself said this, don't take the Chinese menu approach where you take one from column A, one from column B, and you have to take the whole thing. Bhagavad Gita is complete. You can't say, I like this part but not that part. The Vedic literature is complete. The example you use is like people who say, I like Bal Krishna, baby Krishna, but I don't like Gopi Krishna because that's immoral. So that's foolish. Krishna's never immoral. You know, you may say he's dancing with other men's wives, but everything belongs to Krishna. So you have to have a complete understanding before you can come to a final, solid conclusion. So the point about abortion is this. Every soul has a right to live a natural life and die a natural death. It's never in your hands to decide when somebody should die. That's why this whole business of mercy killing of the aged is also stupid. And it's dangerous, and you will go to hell for doing it. You may think, this person is in pain, they want to die, let me just help them, and it's okay. No, they have to live a natural life and die a natural death. It's never up to you to end somebody's existence. Whether they're in the womb, or they're 2, or 10, or 92, or 102, it doesn't matter what age. So the child in the womb has a right to come out. And if you interrupt that, then you're culpable. You're going to be punished for doing that. They have been placed there by the will of providence. It says that in the Bhagavatam, that the soul has been judged and the next parents have been selected for them and they've been put in that environment. And if you interrupt that, then you're culpable. You have to let them go through the full term and come out. It's not in your hands to decide whether somebody lives or dies, whether they're in the womb for 3 months or living for 3 years or living for 93 years. It's not up to you to decide. And if you end somebody's existence at any stage, whether in the womb or outside of the womb, you are culpable. So do yourself a favor and don't get entangled in that, because you're saving yourself from all kinds of problems in the future.
Also, it's natural for householders to be attached to their children. And if the children are devotees and your husband or wife is a devotee, there's nothing wrong with being attached to a devotee family. It's not like we are against attachment. We just have to be attached to the right people. So we're getting late. We'll discuss more. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.